May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I think we all probably know the story of Job, but we realize that he had an absolute tremendous, tremendous amount of personal loss. And his friends, mind you, were all telling him, oh, it's because you sinned, it's because you sinned, it's because you sinned. Repent, and everything will be fine. Well, they weren't right. But it was kind of interesting because Job refused. He insisted, it's not because of my sins. So then here comes the good part. He demanded, he wanted to talk to God, to speak to God. But he learns a couple of things. But before we get to those couple of things, I just love this. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? It made me feel like, whoops, you know, I better be careful too. Gird up your loins like a man, and I will question you, and you shall declare it to me. And here it comes. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And it goes on, and it goes on. And I actually would love to read it, but I know we're all hot and don't want to hear it. But what Job learned was that God is in control. We feel scared sometimes. We feel absolutely vulnerable, sometimes empty, sometimes that the world is in chaos, but God is in control. And Job was learning this. He also realized that not only himself, but no human being, not one human being, can understand all that God does or his purposes. And in this world, in this fallen world, God's will is not always done. And God gets blamed for everything that goes wrong. And it doesn't also mean that it's our sin that causes things to go wrong. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes somebody else's sin. Sometimes, who knows? But what these lessons today tell us is that God is in control. God is, he won with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in the end, God's will be done at all times. And then from Corinthians, St. Paul, we know this, he was a persecutor of the Jews. Of the Christians, you know, the Jewish Christians. But God used him. And look at what he wrote. Look how caring he was of the Corinthians. And how much of a trust and faith they had to eventually learn to have in him. Because I'm sure that the first few months or years, they were probably thinking, oh, St. Paul, he's out to get us. This is just a ploy. But with the Corinthians, he loved them. And he was visiting them. And he said, we're putting no obstacle in anyone's way. And that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees used to do. They used to put obstacles in people's way to be close to God. They made it very difficult. What we might want to ask ourselves is, do we put obstacles in our own ways sometimes? But in this very large paragraph, we learn of all the, let's say, obstacles could have been for St. Paul. And I won't read them all, but think about this. Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger. And that's just the first two lines. And it goes on and on and on. St. Paul and the apostles, they could have given up. They could have easily given up. But what was the difference for them? God Almighty was most important. Sharing Jesus Christ Christ's gospel, his word, his way, his example is most important to them. And thank God, because we're still learning, all of us, about it today. Having the Holy Spirit in their lives and showing that and knowing that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what is most important. Sometimes, and I bet you there's not one person, if there is, just forgive me. But even for me, some mornings, even this morning, I pooped. I want to stay in bed. There can be lots of reasons that we put in front of us to not go to church. But I remember a long, long, long time ago, I was at St. Bernard's, and I think I was 15. And there was a lady there, and her name, we call her Aunt Patsy. She was an opera singer who studied under Toscanini. Yeah, pretty sure. Anyway, she had a beautiful voice, and she came in one Sunday morning, and I never forgot this, and I tried to do exactly what she said. And I said, "You look a little tired." And she says, "Well, dear," she was like older, so I think she was maybe 65 or 70, you know. And I remember she said, "Dear, well, don't say anything." And I figure it's safe now. I can tell. I went out last night, and I had way too much to drink, and I had way too much fun. But I thought to myself, if I could do that, then this morning I have to be sure to say to God, "I'm sorry, but I can be at church no matter how badly I feel." And it made me think so much that I still remember that. Even when I get up a little tired and I don't feel good, or this happened, or that happened, or something really disastrous happened, I remember her saying, "No, I'm going to church, because if I can have fun, then I go to church." That's the lesson she taught me within 30 seconds. Now, in the gospel, we learn the same type of thing. It's all about, do we have trust in God? Do we have faith in God? Do we believe in God enough to keep putting one foot in front of the other? Sometimes it gets extremely rough. And I know there's many here that know that. But we all have storms in our lives. We all have fear or chaos or troubles or stresses or strains or griefs or illnesses. All of us do. But we keep putting one foot in front of the other as many times as we can because we want to worship the Lord our God. Why? Because just what the disciples said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Notice he didn't answer the question. He just got up and showed them that he cared. He didn't have to answer them. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." So when we have rough days or rough months or even some rough years, we can say to ourselves, through prayer, through relationship, working on our trust and our faith in the Lord, we can have peace. Doesn't mean we're not sad or stressed or wanting to scream, but we know, and we can even yell at God, we can have arguments with God, but we know that God exists and he's in us, he's around us, and he never fails us. Even when we fail him sometimes, God never fails us. And think about the blessing that I do every single Sunday. Think about the words, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding," which Job would understand that. We're asking God to keep our hearts and our minds in two things, the knowledge and love of the Lord. And that's, we say that every week. We could pray that every single day for ourselves to give us strength. I have to admit, I love the prayer of the week, so if you don't mind, if you want to, get your bulletins out and we'll say that prayer one more time. O God of creation, eternal majesty, we preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. Your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.